Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast where we talk about Giuseppe Tualdo, a Catholic priest from Italy, who was born in 1719. I'm your host, Parker, and I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Jason, Razorblade's Cobra Commander Frisbee.
How are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, it's warm here, so that's really helping me out, helping out my tootsies. My Tootsie situation.
Your Tootsie situation?
Yep.
Are you talking about like the Dustin Hoffman movie Tootsie, or what are you referring to?
No, I'm talking about, my Tootsie's being cold situation. I no longer have to wear huge socks.
Oh, your toes.
Yeah, man, my Tootsie's.
I've never heard those referred to as Tootsie's.
Well, that's weird, because that's a scientific name.
Your scientific name is adorable, and... I don't even think my niece refers to them as Tootsies, so...
Well, maybe you should inception it into her brain.
Inception, yeah, I'm gonna go like three levels deep in her psyche, because that's how that movie works, right?
Yeah, go three levels deep, and then become highly overrated.
Yeah, that's right. I'll recruit Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I gotta get this word Tootsies in my niece's psyche. Can you, like, spin around a hotel room and fight a guy? Because we're gonna be falling down at some point. I want you to be in fisticuffs. But yeah, it's warmer there. I'm actually visiting warmer climates myself. I know you're still in California, but I'm visiting family in Little Rock, Arkansas.
I love Arkansas.
You know what? I do too. And it's hilarious because... anytime you bring it up, even if you're visiting here, there's an inclination to be like, oh, bib overalls and pickup trucks and backwoodsiness and trailer parks. I haven't seen one fucking trailer park the entire time I've been here. In fact, we've had like delicious meals, like, you know, grade A service. And at least, I mean, for the most part in Little Rock, being more metropolitan, like we have not had to deal with this sort of deliverance style of backwoodsiness that people seem to joke about. In fact, I think that's part of the entire mystique, is that people give this impression like, oh, you go there, you're gonna, you know, wind up barefoot and eating possum stew and all this stuff. But when you actually hear, it's like people are awesome, and like they'll indulge in a Frito pie every now and then, but that's about the bulk of it. Yeah, what's your experience with Arkansas?
Well, I drove through it one time. That's really about it. And I stayed in Branson, Missouri that one time, which is like 20 minutes away from Arkansas. So I assume that the natural beauty of Branson, Missouri translates into Arkansas.
Yeah, most definitely. It's like I always describe it as like an impressionist painting. It's bizarre how lush it is, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, like all the stuff that you just mentioned that about like the backwoodsiness and like it not really being apparent. Like that's all the stuff that I actually liked about Arkansas. Like when we were driving through, we stopped in like just some tiniest little town and had like the best barbecue I've ever had. And like everybody was there. Like it was like on a Sunday, I think. So everybody was like wearing their church clothes at this barbecue place, which seemed really surreal and sort of dangerous, I guess. It was very dangerous because I kept imagining all this barbecue just falling all over everybody's Sunday best.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I mean, I guess they're ready for that danger. Nay, no, not a Sunday best dressed was ruined that day.
Everybody came and left happy, just slightly fuller bellies.
Yeah, and then also like I like all the like swampiness. Like once you get over by Texas, it becomes like all swampy and stuff, which I really enjoy. And then also in that area, there's a lot of Bigfoot sightings and stuff. So I enjoy just being around a place where there might be some Bigfoots, Big Feetsmen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't have too much of an experience with it, but I liked what I saw. Mostly the barbecue. I like that barbecue.
Yeah, we actually, my parents live about a mile or a mile and a half down the road from this place called the Mean Pig, which was featured on Man vs. Food. It was the food challenge for that episode. You have to eat like a pound of pulled pork in their hottest sauce. And that place is pretty awesome. I mean, it's just that one shack. And then there's a couple of places, a few parts of this chain called Whole Hog Cafe. And that place is really good. They have like barbecue nachos, pretty decent sliced beef brisket. That's what I usually go for. Whenever I'm at a barbecue place, I always determine how good of a place it is by eating their sliced beef brisket. Ever since Smokin' Barbecue in Dayton, which has the best still. Like, there's a lot of competitors, you know, people who can match up to it, but that's still the best place for sliced beef. But yeah, like Mean Pig and a lot of places here, they do have pretty good stuff. What's your go-to for barbecue?
I don't know. I usually just like let my wife settle in. She knows more about food than I do. So I usually find a good place to sit while she handles the food situation.
So you don't know where food comes from. That's what makes you royal and the rest of us servile.
Good one!
Thank you.
Yeah, but yeah, I wanted to talk about this real quick to get off the subject of food, as it will make me very hungry. I ordered a new phone the other day because my phone is a piece of crap. Like, it's, I got like the Droid Aris, which is like one of the first cheapest droids they came out with.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't really work anymore. Like, my phone has like several thousand text messages in it, and it makes it work real slow, but I can't delete them. If I try to delete them, then my phone just freezes up. So now I don't really get text messages anymore. It's kind of a shame. Or like, I'll get them, but if I get more than one at like one time, like if I check my phone and it's like a normal phone would be like, you have two text messages. Like, if I have more than one, then I don't get them. It's very weird. So I broke down and got a new phone, despite the fact that I never use my phone. I never answer my phone. I never call anybody. I basically just use it for checking Twitter when I have to take the dog out, stuff like that.
That's very important stuff.
Very important. And like tweeting after the Hunger Games to reply that it should have been called the Boring Games, stuff like that. That's what I pay my phone bill for the opportunity to do that.
Nice.
You know it. And so I got this phone. And, you know, my phone company was like, hey, we'll give you this phone for free. You know, you've been with us for a long time. If you, re-up with us, we got you for free. But I was looking at all the phones, and I saw one that I, like, wanted more than the free phone. I wanted this other phone that would cost me $50 American. And I said, all right, I can do $50 American. And so I got the phone. And now guess how much the tax was on this phone that was $50 American, Frisbee? What would you surmise?
I would surmise that it's going to be actually more than 50. They're paying like $60 in tax or something.
You would surmise that because you know that I'm setting this up to bitch, I would think.
Absolutely. And also because I've purchased a phone before and I know what a sham it can be.
Indeed. The tax was...
So how much was...
It was $45 American.
I was not far off. Well, I was pretty far off. It was like $15 off.
Well, I mean, that's close enough. Most people would probably be like, oh, let's see. Sales tax is what, 7%? So, you know, $3, right, for tax? Eh, that's too... But yeah, no. It was as much as the fucking phone. And I don't know why. And I'm very upset about this. That's how they get you. You can't just be given a free phone these days, or a very cheap phone, without the government wanting a piece of the action. I don't even know what action was going on. But yeah, so this phone...
You assume it was the government that was looking for a piece.
Well, it was. I mean, that's what taxes goes to, is the government, right? Or am I...
I think you better look at your bill again, is what I'm saying. Like, you're... $45 is an awful lot of money. So, I mean, do you even see the breakdown of it? Like,
yeah, it was...
How much was...
Yeah, it was like $35 in state taxes and like $15 in local taxes. It was taxes. This is taxes. This is not hidden fees and stuff like this. So this is a straight tax. I mean, There was also the hidden fees, which, I mean, that came out to like $4 or whatever, like for insurance or whatever. But when it got broke down to, there was like $45 in actual taxes that I had to pay on a phone that was $50.
Yeah.
This is reasonable to you, Mr. Frisbee? Or should I say Comrade Frisbee?
Comrade Frisbee. Yeah. I had a really good Yakov Smirnov joke and I lost it. I was going to say, in North America, phone buys you, but...
In Soviet Russia, taxes are not $50 on a $50 phone. That's insane, Yakov Smirnov would say.
It seems pretty sweet now, doesn't it?
Not even but, in Soviet Russia would you have to pay that much tax.
I have a lot of friends who actually worked in...
Soviet Russia?
Selling cell phones. And... Okay. But I don't know what the breakdown is, to be honest with you. I mean, if there is a state tax, I'm assuming that part of that's the cell phone tower. I mean, those things are not, I don't want to say cheap. That's what I'm looking for. They're not unobtrusive. Like, they take up land and some sort of space, lots of energy. So I'm assuming that there's something going on there.
So this is completely reasonable to you to pay 100% in taxes?
For the miracle of a cell phone, why not? I would probably get my firstborn child. Like, I can access my Twitter feed from anywhere, even a plane. Where do I sign up? How much blood do I have to give? I mean, honestly, like, we didn't have this a decade ago. We were still just kind of marveling at, I don't know, the coax cables for the internet. More than a decade ago, you know, 2001 was still pretty advanced, but yeah. I mean, people are still buying fucking phones. I'd hate to see like an uprising start with the slap in the face that is a cell phone bill. I totally agree with you. I mean, it is a lot of money, but I don't think it's, you know, anywhere unreasonable for the service they're providing.
It's not the service they're providing, though. I pay a monthly bill for the service that the phone company is providing. The taxes are going to... the city that has nothing to do whatsoever with Verizon.
Well, again, I mean, I don't know exactly how it's broken down.
It's
neither do you.
How I'm telling you it's broken down. You don't believe me, Mr. Frisbee. I was looking at it last night. $45 in taxes.
Yeah, what's it going to, though? That's what I'm saying. It's like, I see. There's this $45 that goes to taxes. What is it paying for? I mean, you don't know. I don't know. Neither of us work in government. Neither of us work for a phone company. I mean, if you want to call Verizon up and or whoever it is and ask them, hey, where's the money going to? I'm sure they'd be happy to tell you.
Verizon would have no idea because it's not their money. It's the government's money. They took it. I would have to call the government.
You don't think they've heard this complaint before? I mean, people are calling up. And...
because most people are apparently like you, Mr. Frisbee, where you go 100% sales tax. Okie dokie.
Sales tax.
Let me go back to tweeting. That's fine by me.
No, you know that's not true. I mean,
nobody gets upset about this.
Oh, God. You've obviously never been to a comedy show. Like, people are always pissed about this stuff. I'm not going to do it because, like I just said, hey, it's a service that is remarkable. I mean, the amount that people pay for a computer that's already built, and they could build one themselves, is just as ludicrous. But it's like, you're not going to build your own cell phone. You're not going to build your own service for it. So... you paid the amount of money. You're going to complain about it after the fact. I mean, you could just have done this beforehand. Been like, no. I'm not paying 100% sales tax on a phone. Thank you very much. Until I know where this money goes to the penny. I mean, we don't, though. And I'm pretty sure you did this with the previous phone. I've done this with all my phones. It's just now that you're realizing it. It's just now that you're pissed about it. So, yeah, I mean, if it's that upsetting... try to get a return on it. You won't get one, but failing that, try to contact your congressman or something and be like, hey, where the hell is this money going to since I'm paying so much in this state tax? And I'm sure they're not going to be like, well, pull out their collar sort of stuff. I'm saying that they actually probably have gotten this inquiry before. I've never bothered to look it up, though. And hell, man, like, we all have internets. You can probably find out where it goes to or why it's the case.
I don't know. I think that you're taking this too loosey-goosey, Frisbee. I think that you are the Elizabeth Banks character in The Hunger Games. Oh,
that Effie.
Yeah. Oh, they're just sending the children out to kill each other. Oh, that's fine. That's just how it is. That's the society we live in.
Yeah, when you buy into it for so long, sure. Why not? The cell phone isn't a kid, though. And I'm surprised that you made such a powerful analogy for a movie that you saw recently and claimed to have disliked.
I disliked it. But I'm just saying, that's you. You're that guy. And me, I'm Rue. When I die, or in this analogy, pay $50 in taxes on a phone, then
it's pretty much the same thing.
Then that's when the civil disobedience starts breaking out. That's when society starts to crumble. And then if I do go and start asking questions about where this money's going, then that's when they'll do a special Hunger Games event where all the previous winners have to kill each other. And then Haymitch is going to die. And that blood is going to be on your hands, Mr. Frisbee. Spoiler alert.
There's a lot of spoilers in that. We probably should have said that beforehand. Have you read the book of the Hunger Games?
No, but it's the number 3 movie in the world ever. So, I'm sure everybody's already seen it. Except for
no, I didn't ask if you saw it. Like, I was asking if you read the books at all.
No, I don't read books. JK, I do read books all the time.
Yeah, JK. It's funny because that was total JK.
Yeah. I apologize if I spoiled the Haymitch part for anybody.
Hold on one second. You hadn't read the book?
No.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Are there more tax analogies in the book, or...
No, I just figured that you'd actually like the book, though, because it's about this kid, as you described, who, it just seems like it has everything that you like a powerful female lead, decent amounts of story-driven violence, and in this case, an uprising, at least the sparks of rebellion against the government that's overly controlling. Like, I read this book and thought, like, hey, this is something that Parker might actually like in young adult fiction.
Yeah, I'll probably end up reading it. I've got it on the Kindle, but I haven't read it yet. And yeah, like, I was talking to my wife. I talked about this a little bit on Junk Food Dinner's 2-year anniversary episode, which should be up, like, tonight or something, at junkfooddinner.com. But yeah, like, my wife read it, and then we went to go see it, and I was like, hey, this movie didn't have, like, interesting like characters or like a very fleshed out metaphor about like, you know, the overreach of government in a dystopic world. Does the book have that? And she's like, oh yeah, that's the book's chock full of that. And I'll probably end up reading it.
Yeah. That's what I've heard about the film is that people who have read the book just seem to question a lot of the interactions, relationships. The book is actually this, first person narrative from the Katniss Everdeen character. So there is obviously a ton of stuff that's going on inside her head.
Oh yeah, it's written in first person?
Yeah.
I love first person. That's my favorite person.
Yeah, another reason why I thought you might like this.
Is it first person present tense or past tense?
Present.
Oh, that's my favorite tense.
All the action that happens is happening on the cusp. A lot of cliffhanger chapters and whatnot. You'll like it. I mean, I know you're kind of feeding into this facetiousness and whatnot, but yeah, you'll totally enjoy it.
I am definitely in now. I didn't know it was first person present tense. I love that. That's the best. I'll read anything that's written like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's done like very much the same way of American Psycho, where it just builds the story along because you're experiencing it the same way that, you know, Patrick Bateman did, or in this case, Katniss does.
Katniss Bateman.
Katniss Bateman.
Well, now that we've made English nerds happy talking about like what's your favorite tense? Let's get it all out in the open for our listeners that really enjoy English class. What's your favorite tense and person?
I usually like third person, past tense.
Past tense.
Like a story that happened and we're learning something from it, but
it's pretty.
But this has been a page turn. I'm actually on book 3 and. Yeah, I'm about to finish this book probably after we're done recording. It makes up for, I read the first one months ago. Didn't get a chance to read the next two, but I've read the second book this past weekend. I'm finishing up this book tonight on Wednesday. So,
Well, if I go on more about taxes and stuff, then maybe you'll just finish it while we record. I actually don't care about that.
I'm like, yeah, yeah, totally. Pan Am is really tearing us apart. Whatever.
I wanted to get into something that I've been wanting to do on the show for a while, and I always forget. Every week, I check out the website. You know, I post things on the website, episodes and stuff, and I check out what people have Googled to find our website, poolpartyradio.com. And it always puts a smile on my face. So I wanted to read the things that we've gotten in the last month. Just, you know, the things that people have Googled to find our website in the last month. The first one, two people Googled this to find our website. Adam Sandler ugly.
That makes sense, yeah. We have a lot of keywords.
Yeah. Well, also, I don't understand why anybody would Google that, but yeah, funny. Funny stuff. Adam Sandler is ugly, so I'm glad that we're helping people find that out. Cross-eyed midgets is one.
Cross-eyed midgets.
High school pool party. So we got a lot of creeps. Maybe the Serbian film fans are finding us that way.
I like how that's where your mind jumps to immediately. Like, normally I would think, oh man, some pederast. But what if it was actually like just some high school kid who's like, I need to throw or at least attend a pool party while I'm in high school. So where can I do this? How can I find out more information about it?
I need the tips to throw the best pool party for my high school.
Would be even better if that same like group or set of kids were trying to legitimately listen to our podcast, just waiting with bated breath, or not bated breath, but just waiting patiently for us to be like, oh, by the way, don't forget to put out chips and dip for your pool party. Anyway, fart jokes, poops, and yeah, more talk of talk.
Yeah, I got that one time back when pool party was Pool Party Magazine, and it was the zine I did. I was like handing them out at a show or something, and somebody was like, man, you did a whole zine about like pool parties? This is stupid. That was very funny because it's all about me and stuff. But sometimes people take things literally. So maybe we do have a small following of people who listen to this podcast who are just waiting for the episode that we get to where we talk about the best chips and dips and the best floaties.
Oh, yeah. And why you shouldn't throw like a candy bar in the pool. Because it looks like a turd.
Good one!
Thank you. I love how you never use that on yourself. You usually just use that, what's that guy's name? Anthony Jeselnik. Like, just telling you that's a very good joke. That's a very smart joke.
Well, we've only had the new Lemon Grab one for like a week or something.
It's been a very liberal use on my end.
Yeah.
I don't mean
it sarcastically, like it sounds. I just mean it like the laugh track or whatever. It's just a different laugh track. Just think of it like that.
Whatever you say, boss. Which one of these search...
All right.
Well, not to do that. Which one of these search keyword sources do you agree with the most so far? Because that cross-eyed midget one, I just do not see that coming even close.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the high school pool party one, as it actually has pool party. But still, you'd think there'd be like 10 million websites before us that are about pool parties that somebody would go to.
Yeah, the fact that we're just called Pool Party Radio, I'm kind of surprised that's like, again, somebody would check that out and be like, well, if I listen to this, maybe I can throw the best pool party.
Yeah. Also, that Lemon Grab good one, it was closest to my cursor. So that's why I picked it just then. I was thinking about using the really smart joke one, but that was all the way at the top and I would have to scroll with my hand. Come on, Frisbee.
No, I mean... The really smart joke one for was essentially a poop joke. Come on. we're not really going to pat ourselves on the back that hard. I just thought it was very funny because it's the most appropriate response to use for what I had said. An elongated accent on the word turd. Of course, Lemon Grab's going to show up.
The next thing we have is actually oddly appropriate. It's Music for Pool Party Radio. I know a long time ago we got a request to start posting the music that we use on the show.
Yeah.
On the website, which I did for like 3 weeks. And then I forgot to keep doing it. But apparently people are Googling it. Or Googling something completely different that is the same exact thing. Maybe there's a different pool party radio that plays like really sweet music that people are really amped up to find out about. But
nope. We're the only one. We're the only pool party radio that plays sweet music. All the rest of them play bullshit nonsense.
We're the only game in town.
Indeed. I think going forward, I'll try to go back and figure out what songs are which in each episode. Maybe post those on the blog. Just have it at the end of each blog entry just so people know what we have.
Yeah, I did that for like the first, when we got that first request, I did that for like, I went back to like the first 25 episodes or whatever and posted them all in one big post on the website, poolpartyradio.com. So if you're interested, and then yeah, I'll try to keep up with it in the future, as apparently people are Googling it, which means they're very concerned.
Yeah, and they just keep coming back to our site instead and getting disappointed.
Yeah, I like that they Google it rather than just going to our site, because like that implies like maybe there are other websites that are keeping track of our music for us, which would be sweet.
That would be nice.
Yeah. The next thing we have, another creepy one, is Pool Party Tweens.
Oh, yeah, that's the pederast one.
Yeah.
The high school one I'll let fly, because, you know, maybe that is some kid, but for tweens,
yeah,
tweens will address themselves as tweens.
Yeah, this guy is certainly not looking for tips on how to throw a cool party. He's looking for tips on how to get an erection while looking at 12-year-olds.
He's also looking at tips on how to meet Chris Hansen readily.
The next one is one that pops up quite a bit. It's writing a penis.
Yeah. Yeah, we have that.
We get that. We have that on our website.
We have that picture.
We have a picture. Yeah, we have
a couple of dudes writing a penis.
Yep. Lots of guys on top of a penis. We got that.
Because that was your interpretation of what every gay pride parade was, correct?
Well, it wasn't that. It was just that I was remarking on how GLAAD seems to not have a good sense of humor, despite the fact that occasionally naked gay guys will ride an inflatable penis with a happy face. And you would think that a culture sporting that would also sport a pretty healthy sense of humor about themselves. But anyway, we got that picture on poolpartyradio.com. The next one is scary midgets.
See, I'm not really sure where the midget thing comes from. I don't think we actually touch upon midgets all that much.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I know we have like an episode image on our blog that's like midget wrestlers.
Yeah, but the name of that picture isn't anything about midgets.
Yeah, I can't remember a time when we actually talked about midgets.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that on Junk Food Dinner, Mark Fredo has gone on record saying that midgets are the rats of people.
That's terrible. Yeah, I remember that. That's an awful thing to say.
Oh, yeah, I think you were on that episode.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, the rats episode. Or maybe it was a callback to, I don't know. But the next thing we have is pretty disturbing. If this person who Googled this listens to our show, I'm going to ask you to stop listening, which is the only time I'll ever ask anybody to stop listening to this show, probably. But Dead Gay Black is the next thing that somebody Googled to find us, which I I have no idea how they found us.
Yeah.
Or why anybody would Google that.
I don't know where that comes from. Like, we've never discussed any sort of Dead Gay Black to my recollection. Do you remember anything that would fit that?
No, but maybe this guy was also trying to throw a party of some sort and needed tips.
That was, well, yeah, to be honest, that was the original name of the show, wasn't it? Dead Gay Black Radio. Instead of Pool Party Radio.
Smart joke. Now that's a really smart joke.
I don't know why we opted for one. I think it's just because you had the zine named after it.
Yeah, I already had the tattoo of Pool Party, so we just went with that. I didn't feel like getting another tattoo.
Dead Gay Black. That's exactly what somebody entered in to search for us.
Yep. Well, not for yeah. specifically, but they found us when they were searching for that.
I'll second your vote to have that person stop listening. I do not want to be associated with that person at all. Sorry. Sure, you have other qualities. Unless there's like some sort of drunken mishap, or I don't know how you'd actually scramble those words together in any way and have it come out as a positive search. Like, well, I am really interested in this. And the fact that we even came up, how is that possible?
I don't know.
Where are we on that search? I'm actually going to do a quick Google search to see how quickly we come up. Did you try that with any of these?
No, I didn't try that. I hope we're not like the first entry.
No. In fact, yeah, we're not even coming up at all. The first one that comes up is from albinoblacksheep.com. And the page title is called Draining the Lizard on a Dead Guy Wizard. Flash video. Not really interested to see what that looks like.
Will you enjoy that free advertising, albino sheep or whatever it was?
Yeah. Godspeed.
The next thing we have is Funny Macho Midget. So I like that somebody's Googling not only macho midgets, but funny macho midgets. As if there was any other kind.
Again, the midget thing. I'm not following why people are finding us. I'm on page 4 of this Google search, and I'm not seeing our website.
There are going to be more midgets popping up. The next one is Gay Pool Party, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's fun.
That's reasonable. The next one is Midget Clown Porn.
Like, god damn it. Like, I don't see how any of these are connecting. Why so many midget stuff showing us?
Yeah, but I do like that this person, not satisfied with midget porn or clown porn, but when you put them together, he's a happy camper.
Yeah. He's a freak.
And and the last one we have this month is Mr. Roger M. Midget from Houston.
Mr. Roger M. Is that like an actual person?
I assume so. I assume that somebody was trying to find their friend Roger Midget.
Why do we have so many midget associations?
I don't know.
This is mind-boggling. Like, I am... Okay, yeah, just to update, I'm on page 9 of the Google search for the dead gay black person. And... yeah, nothing is coming up. I mean, there's a lot of Spider-Man references because people are...
That's weird.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, yeah, like there's a Marvel Comics reveal new Spider-Man is black and could be gay. And that's still... yeah, I don't know how we come across as part of this search. And the midget stuff. Like, I could... What was that last one? Mr. Roger and Midget?
Yeah, from Houston.
Yeah, we're not even like on the first page for this stuff. That's people, so weird.
They're looking deep.
They are, apparently. I mean, these people have to be like in the 40s or 50s or something, where it's like every other letter pops up, you know?
Yeah.
Ugh, strange. Real strange. But enlightening. So at least we know that our SEO does not really matter. We're just attracting people who are either looking to infiltrate tween pool parties or are interested in some weird fetish porn. So we got that going for us, I suppose.
It's our target audience.
I know when we started off, that's what we were talking about. I just never knew it actually happened.
It's like a dream come true.
Part of the Red Band Network. RedBandNetwork.com.
It's time
for the lightning round.
First up on the lightning round, the Tacocopter is going to have a slight delay in its release. There's a business that was planned called Tacocopter. The concept is very simple. You would order your tacos on your smartphone and also beam in your GPS location information. Your order and your location would then be transmitted to an unmanned drone helicopter grounded near the kitchen where the tacos are made. The Tacocopter would then send out your food to find you and deliver your tacos to wherever you're standing. And this is actually going to be taking place in the Bay Area, like around Oakland and San Francisco. However, current U.S. FAA regulations prevent using unmanned aerial vehicles like drones for commercial purposes at the moment. And it's kind of disorienting because this actually seems like a really fun idea.
Yeah, it seems like it could be like fun and stuff, but I think the downfall of this would be that every like immature or drunk or like young or reckless person in the city would be following these things around with a slingshot trying to bring them down.
Mm-hmm. Or they would just be leaving exactly where they ordered from. Like, they would just forget. I mean, how many drunk friends do you have who make drunk phone calls anyway? So what's to say, like, a person wouldn't just drunk order a taco copter, let their GPS location be beamed, and that drone's already, it's on its way, but that person's already gotten to a cab to go across the bridge or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I wonder what the taco copter does, like, if, like, the people are like, oh, I'm tired of waiting for this taco copter. Let's go get some Del Taco. And, yeah, by the time it arrives, like, does the taco copter have enough artificial intelligence to realize it's been stiffed?
Yeah, exactly.
Or does it just start killing people? Like in Chopping Mall, the movie.
Yeah, and that's another point, too, is, like, if these taco copters have blades, how much of a threat are they to anybody who's just standing by near that corner where the person's waiting for their taco patiently?
Yeah, and you said this is going to be in San Francisco and Oakland that they're trying this out?
The proposal was supposed to be in Bay Area.
There are a lot of homeless people in San Francisco and in Oakland, at least according to my experience when I was there. Like, you kind of have to, like, step over, like, tons of homeless people. It's kind of like it was kind of like that scene in that last episode of The Walking Dead where, like, all those zombies attacked the farm and, like, they had to, you know, stiff arm those zombies to get out and, like, run around them and stuff. It was sort of like that, but with homeless people. And I would assume that the homeless people would, like, devise plans to get the food, the valuable nourishment inside these taco copters. Like, they would probably, like, come up with, like, ingenious, like, net schemes, you know, like hoisting nets all throughout, like, the San Francisco skyline to bag these taco copters, you know, to get to the sweet protein inside.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I just don't imagine that this would work. I think that people would either want to bring these taco copters down for fun or because there's just random food floating around your city now and there are a lot of hungry people in that city.
I think there's a couple of flaws to this. Like, whenever I think about, you know, what if it's a multi-story building? The person's ordering from, like, the third or fifth floor. How does it know which floor to get to? Like, I'm assuming you just kind of get an alert message, say, hey, your taco's outside. But,
or you can meet it on the roof, I guess.
That seems exactly how Nick Fury would get every meal.
Yeah.
You have to go through the roof and wait for a unarmed drone to deliver his tacos.
Yeah. But then you would have to barricade the door to the roof behind you because there's going to be dozens and dozens of hungry zombie-like homeless people who are on their way up to take your food and to devour your flesh.
With the funk of 40,000 years.
You got that right.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that homeless people would be that rabid for a flying taco, because I'm pretty sure these tacos are pretty high up. It's not like some sort of Warner Brothers cartoon where the copter is, like, going about maybe, I don't know, 8 feet off the ground, and there's, like, a taco wafting scent you can visibly see, like, you know, pulling these bums along.
Pulling them off of their feet.
Yeah, you know, they all have giant grins and their noses are basically carrying their entire bodies. And on top of that, like, I don't think they'll be entirely Walking Dead-like in their hunger for tacos, or any food for that matter. I mean, they're around the taco vans and stuff like that, but they're not pushing them over to get to the sweet protein nourishment inside. I don't doubt it will happen one day. Don't get me wrong, Parker. I'm just saying it's not going to happen with these taco copters. But yeah, it still kind of seems unreasonable. As much as I want the world to look like Fifth Element, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah. Also, I'm like, I'm actually kind of into this now that I think about it, because unmanned drone means unmanned tips. And no robot's going to be demanding any tips.
Yeah, you actually pay through your phone, through your smartphone.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Nope. But the smartphone is like $200, which means that you'll be paying about $400 for it.
That's true. So I wouldn't have the money either way to tip this robot. But robots can't fit in your
phone. You'll be lucky to afford tacos after that smartphone.
Yeah, I know. I'll be destitute. But I'll be able to tweet about how destitute I am.
So destitute. Hashtag destitute.
Parker has checked in at Skid Row.
Hashtag hobo.
Parker has checked in at the store where they sell the gloves with no fingers.
Gloves with no fingers. Parker has checked in at Pork and Beans Cannery. Parker has checked in at Flaming Oil Can. Under bridge. You'll be the wealthiest, you'll be the snazziest, techiest hobo around.
Yeah, that right.
So dapper.
I'll be like, hey hobos, gather around this flaming oil can so I can show you this app that makes fart noises.
Can you trade stocks with that? Yeah, whatever. Hobo apps. How do you charge your phone? Next up on the lightning round, Saggy Pants proposal advancing in Tennessee legislature. 3 years ago, Representative Joe Towns failed to make Tennessee the first state to fine teenagers for wearing saggy breeches. Now the Memphis Democrat has a more comprehensive measure to prohibit risque dressing in schools, and its chances of passage are looking good. The proposal is headed for a House floor vote and is moving steadily in the Senate. It seeks to prohibit students from exposing, quote, underwear or body parts in an indecent manner that disrupts the learning environment, end quote. In addition to boys not sagging their pants, it means female student athletes would have to wear shirts over sports bras that school officials deem inappropriate. Currently, Arkansas and Florida are the only states that target schools for a saggy pants ban, according to the National Conference of State Legislature. Do you remember any of the clothing bans or clothing restrictions that you had when you were in high school?
Well, I remember that girls had to, their shorts or skirts had to be longer than, like if they put their arms straight down, they had to be longer than their fingers.
Right.
It's really about the only thing I remember. And a couple times I got in trouble at school for having like blue hair and stuff. But that was only in like middle school. Once I got to high school, they didn't care about that stuff. I don't think they cared about anything.
Yeah.
People at Wayne were like regularly getting stabbed after school. Even though it was in the suburbs and stuff. Like, so I don't think they really cared too much about stuff like that. I know I had friends that like would have to turn their shirts inside out or like go home and get new shirts if they were wearing Marilyn Manson shirts.
See, that's hysterical. Like in retrospect. I mean, I don't even recall being that terrified of Marilyn Manson at the time. And that video was pretty scary for Sweet Dreams.
Yeah, yeah. It was right around the time when he exploded and everybody went out and bought the shirt.
I guess there's some sort of equation of, administration faculty thinking that there was a link between wearing the Marilyn Manson shirt that you bought at Walmart or wherever and being a cultist or something like that.
Yeah.
That's just hysterical to me. That's still a thing. Like on this show, we talked about how people get stoned to death for believing to be a wizard, like, you know, across the ocean somewhere. But we still do shit like this. It's like, oh, turn your shirt inside out. We don't want any sort of Cthulhu cultists coming up in this school. It's like, really, this is all make believe.
And yeah, like a lot of times it was just like that one shirt that everybody had where it's like just a close up of his face, like on a TV or whatever.
But yeah.
Every once in a while, like, it was, like, something, like, really cool and hardcore. Like, my friend Tom had this Marilyn Manson shirt that had, like, a cop shooting himself in the head on it. And, like, so, I mean, I can understand that, I guess, sort of. If you're, like, an old teacher and you see that, you wouldn't want that, you'd make a kid not wear that shirt. But all the other Marilyn Manson shirts, I couldn't understand. And I think that only happened for, like, a couple of months. And then they realized that everybody was wearing a Marilyn Manson shirt and, like, there was no use in trying to tell kids not to. But yeah, it seems like places have been trying to ban saggy pants for like a long time. And I don't, like, it seems like in high school, I remember dudes with saggy pants. Like, I don't understand why this is still a thing. Like, where people, I don't know, like, I just can't understand why people are like, all right, let me pull on these pants real quick. All right, now let me pull them back down about 35%. All right, now we're good. I don't understand why this was ever a thing and why it caught on. Maybe I'm old, I guess, but I didn't understand it when I was in high school and people first started doing it, and I don't really understand it now. Like, I would not feel comfortable myself, you know, I knew that there was always a large chance that, like, I could move my legs slightly and my pants would fall down.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't think that there should be, like, laws against it. I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, you obviously look stupid. Like, if you're wearing this sort of fashion. Like, I don't think anybody's like, I see that guy with the saggy pants there? I think he's on his way to donate his time to charity and then sell some stocks. You know, like, it's obviously you're just telling everybody, hey, I'm stupid. But but I don't think there should be any sort of law against that.
When I worked at the gym, we actually had this group of guys who were nice enough, but one of them insisted on, like, coming in at least the most gym appropriate wear. Like, you couldn't wear jeans or denim on the machines because it would tear up the upholstery, but you could wear like something just next to like khaki or some sort of cotton pants. And he would have his like sagging, you know, somewhere around his quadriceps, like between his knee and hip. Like, it was about halfway down between those points. And he would proceed to try to work out like that. It just looked like the most uncomfortable thing. Like, everything looks uncomfortable with saggy pants. They have a picture of, like, a kid with saggy pants here, some dude with saggy pants, and it's like, there's no aesthetic to it either. I remember people were saying, like, yeah, if you had saggy pants in prison, like, they would claim this is where it originated, that if you had saggy pants in prison, that meant that you were kind of loose, like, you were a prison slut, and you were willing to, like, give up your body for, instead of, being beaten or whatever. And there's actually no truth behind that. No one can really find out where that came from. As far as people know, it's just, like you said, I mean, it's just stupid people. I mean, it was some sort of fashion statement in the 90s, and like most fashion statements from the 90s, it died out really fast, or should have died. But people have been keeping this one alive because, again, like most fashion statements from the 90s, it was really dumb.
Yeah, I do like that other explanation, though. Like, oh, I'm not wearing my saggy pants because I'm, like, stupid or anything. I'm just wearing them because I like getting fucked in my ass against my will.
Yeah, definitely.
That's why I started wearing them to begin with. And now it's caught on, you see, with the kids. But me, personally, I just like getting fucked in the ass.
Which one would you rather do? Wear skinny girl jeans or saggy pants? One being, like, the hipster side, the other being this thug life side.
I guess I go with the saggy pants, because, you know, I mean, at least a lot of the times the saggy pants, like, they're like loose fitting pants, you know, and that's very comfortable. I couldn't be restricted by tight pants. Like, I got to be able to be prone and crouch down at a moment's notice when I'm hiding from the fuzz because I just downed a taco copter.
Right.
So, yeah.
Not to mention you have to hide from those bums too. They might try to smell you out, but they rely mostly on vision because they smell bad anyway.
That's true.
Yeah, actually, I'm wearing tighter jeans today. They're not girl jeans, but they are slim jeans. And I got to say, I feel pretty mobile. I feel like I could do the splits on these things, maybe.
You feel like you could win the Hunger Games?
No, I do not feel, I mean, even without these jeans, I don't feel like I could win the Hunger Games. That shit's insane. I'd be the first to go.
Yeah, it looks pretty difficult.
Yeah. Fireballs and all that shit?
Yeah, man.
I could. No way. No way. Up next is young white men in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, say they're targets of NYPD's stop and frisk tactics 2. By the way, whites make up 10% of stops, according to NYCLU. The 90th percent ranked 5th on the New York Civil Liberties Union's top 10 list of precincts where the NYPD stopped, questioned, and sometimes frisked the most in 2011. The NYCLU broke down the 17,566 stops by race, finding that whites in Williamsburg made up 10% of the reports. The Caucasian count in other gentrifying areas on the list was much lower, like in the 23rd precinct covering the Upper East Side and East Harlem, where whites comprised 2%. Of the 17,498 stops citywide, the number was 9%. It's not about race, it's about class, said goth guitarist Nate Morgan, age 20, detailing several recent encounters with cops in East Williamsburg. I have a mohawk, they stereotype me. They were like, do you have alcohol in that? They stopped me and looked at my pupils, Morgan said. People get stopped for the way that you look. So you think this is a problem, or that they're justified in their anger and outrage? For being stopped?
these white kids.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the story sort of seems like these white kids just want to get in on being able to complain about the cops too, you know, like, everybody else is complaining that, you know, these cops are, maybe like frisking them for racial means, you know, or like for, because of racial profiling or whatever. And so like these kids, like these white kids that are only 10% of the people being frisked or lower, I just want to be like, oh yeah, we hate the cops too. They're harassing us too. Hey, let's all get in on this, even though it's like not really the case, maybe. I don't know. I don't really know what's going on in this story. And like, I mean, this kid who's the goth guitarist who has the mohawk talking about, oh, you know, they're stereotyping me. Well, if you're a goth guitarist with a mohawk, chances are you're up to no good. The only goth guitarists with mohawks I've ever known have been up to no good.
Is that true?
Yeah. Imagine all the goth guitarists with mohawks you've ever seen in your life. What were they?
Not many. I don't really remember any. I thought that maybe a guy from the Jackalopes had a mohawk. That band wasn't really goth, was it?
No. I don't think any of those guys had mohawks either. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. It just seems like, I don't know what it seems like. I don't get the story, really. These guys just complain, even though they're not really getting frisked. They want to pretend they are.
In some, it's kind of hard to say like where the frisking comes from. There's always been this identification of playing close cops. During planned protests, people always complain of playing close cops in that instance. And here's a weird testimonial at the end of the story. A 27-year-old barbershop manager said a plainclothes cop frisked him in Grand Ferry Park after spotting him rolling a marijuana joint under an umbrella as he sat with his ex-girlfriend in the rain. The manager, who has not to be identified, said he confessed to having the drug, was patted down, and walked away with no summons. "I had a bright pink shirt on that day," the manager said. "I was an easy target." How does a bright pink shirt make you an easy target?
Yeah, I don't think the cops are going around like, all right, everybody, spread out and look for the pink shirts.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard about, like, you know, solid color clothing when you're trying to get into a club being, you know, as denied since they don't want to associate that with gang colors or something. But you're hanging out with a girl in the park and you just happen to be wearing a pink t-shirt. I don't remember, like, people wearing pink t-shirts being oppressed so much as entire racial populations. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That's where I have to agree with you, where they're saying like, oh man, I know what it's like to be oppressed. One time I had a mohawk.
Yeah, yeah.
Or one time I was wearing suspenders. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. Like, I just imagine like there being like this big like protest going on, like, you know, made up of like the black people and the Latino people who are like getting harassed by the cops, and like a white guy with a pink shirt shows up and he's all, ah, yeah, yeah, I'm with you. Remember slavery? I'm wearing a pink t-shirt. I know what it's like.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
exactly. It's like, your grandfather was an indentured slave who, you know, had to do blistering field work because he wore a pink shirt? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Like, that's why you're the easy target?
Yeah. I remember when my great grandfather was kidnapped and made to make and made to you know, build the nation's railroads because he was wearing that Marilyn Manson shirt.
Yeah, he came from a long proud tribe of people who wore Marilyn Manson shirts.
Yeah. Oh, you say
they were such an easy target.
You say your ancestors were taken from their home and put into plantations where they were forced into slavery for decades and decades. Well, one time a jock picked on me because I'm goth.
It's like one and the same thing.
Yeah, that's what I imagine this is. It's just, you know, white people trying to fit in or something. Or white people
pretend
that they have culture of some sort. I don't know.
Or you're taking gentrification in a completely weird step.
Yeah,
like, it's not gentrification. I'm just like you. Yeah, like, in some respect, but you're not like, you're not an immigrant Latino person who's trying to provide for their family and having to deal with like an entirely different country or anything like that. Like, you were born here and the decisions you made are your own. You decided to wear that pink shirt when you got up in the morning. sir. It's like you could have easily just taken it off or, you know, worn a non-pink shirt. Anyway, yeah. Easy target. Yeah, I'm with you on this one all the way. Like, these kids are, we can make all sorts of assumptions. I mean, it's Williamsburg hipster population. I think they're more out of touch than they claim that they would like to not be.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, yeah, moving right along. Our last story on this. Ontario, Canada green lights brothels. The top court in Canada's Ontario province on Monday legalized brothels in an attempt to make prostitution less dangerous for those employed as sex workers. The landmark decision noted that prostitution is very dangerous and existing laws prevented sex workers from banding together and hiring security guards. The case will most likely be appealed to Canada's Supreme Court, and a final decision is thought to be at least a year away. Starting in 2013, though, sex workers will be able to work together in a brothel in any part of the province, the newspaper reported. On April 25th, prostitutes will be able to hire whole bodyguards, the court decided. So what do you think of Canada now, Parker?
Well, hookers have always been my favorite part of Canada, I think. When I went to Toronto, like, I've been to, like, before I went to Toronto, I'd been to, like, some other big cities, and I lived next to, like, some hookers when I lived in this one part of North Dayton. And it was always, like, real gross hookers, you know, like, that I'd seen. Like, the ones I lived next to, like, were always wearing, like, jeans and hoodies, and, like, they were hookers for sure. But, like, they weren't hot, like, in the movies, you know? Like, when you're growing up, you know, like, you watch these movies like Vice Academy and stuff, and you always imagine that, like, hookers are wearing, like, hot pants, and they got, like, stilettos on, and they're Ginger Lynn and Linnea Quigley and people like this. But then, you know, you grow up and you realize that they're, like, just gross whores, you know? And then, like, so it was like that when I lived in Dayton, and then I went to New York and saw some hookers, and they were kind of gross, too. And then I went to Toronto, and the hookers were top-notch movie-grade hookers. Like, they're just standing around, and they're wearing the hot pants. They're wearing, like, bikini tops in March. You know, they got the stilettos on and, you know, big makeup and big, you know, looking like your traditional hookers. And I don't know if that's because maybe, I mean, I know a lot of the hookers that I would see on TV were, like, early 80s hookers and stuff like this. So maybe Canada's hookers are, like, just behind the times, you know, and, like, they're not with the new hooker fashions, which is to wear big hoodies and windbreakers and jeans and sweatpants and stuff. But I prefer not to think like that. I think that the hookers in Canada are just top-notch. They really know how to be hookers. And so if they're also allowed to have brothels now, then they're really going to take hookering to the next level. And I applaud this.
Yeah, I thought you might. I was just curious. having been around Dayton, like, you definitely pass areas that, you know, are just ladies hanging out on the street and everything, and none of them look like Elizabeth Shue out of Leaving Las Vegas. I mean, none of them look like Jamie Lee Curtis out of Trading Places either. So it's like you're not getting the movie grade hooker experience as you walk by.
Yeah, the ones in Dayton tend to look like Trixie from Deadwood. That's the kind of hookers that we have in Dayton.
Yeah, I was actually gonna say Mindy from Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that too. That's way better. As she wears modern clothes and doesn't dress like a lady of the night from 1880. Although some hookers in Dayton do that.
That would actually be somebody interested in just, like, hanging out with for a day. Like, why are you dressing so Victorian? Are you really into Les Miserables for some reason? So, you're going for a Cosette thing, I can tell.
Are you upset at that cocksucker from San Francisco cocksucker?
On the next episode of Sherlock Homophobia, Sherlock must investigate the murder of the director of 2012 London Olympic Games.
Oi crikey, do you know that the Olympics started in Greece? The Greeks are a bunch of faggots if you ask me.
Got mail.
This week, we actually do have mail, and quite a bit, so let's get started. First one is from Jim. Title of the email is Fiverr. Hey, Jason and Parker, I just saw this on Lifehacker. Might be interesting for the show. Hire someone for $5. There are a lot of different options, like a custom video of robots fighting with text you submit, or a 15-second guitar solo, etc. And the website that he's promoting is fiverr.com. That's F-I-V-E-R-R.com. In which case you can put a price on a service that you feel like you can provide as being $5 and only $5. Or you can look for a service and expect to only pay $5 for that service. So going to the website, I will give you a Spanish lesson on Skype for $5.
That's a good deal.
I'll transcribe a video or audio up to 5 minutes for $5.
I could actually really use that Spanish one, not to cut you off, because I was at Walmart the other day and I was like looking at all these like DVDs, you know, I was like, check it out, a 10-pack of Mexican action movies for $4. And like they all had like really cool posters and I was like, man, these movies look sweet. But I couldn't read like the summaries or anything, and I knew I wouldn't be able to make it out like if I actually bought them and watched them or anything. So I really need to learn Spanish. That way I can take Walmart up on their option of giving me like really, really cheap Mexican action movies, because they look fucking awesome.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Sorry. It took up a lot of my day yesterday, is looking at all these DVD packs and wishing I knew Spanish so I could watch them.
Well, it's a 30-minute lesson through Skype. So if you have $5, for only $5. Yeah.
That's a great deal.
Yeah. And you can search through different categories on the right-hand side, obviously. And yeah, seems a good thing to do. Like, we could probably use that for the show somehow, I'm sure.
Yeah, actually, oddly enough, Jesse P.S., who does the Pod Awful show, which is part of the Red Band Network, I saw him on Facebook the other day promoting the fact that he's doing some Fiverr stuff where you pay him $5 and he says whatever you want on his show, which sounds like a pretty good deal.
Sounds reasonable, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think we could do with Fiverr as part of Pool Party?
I don't know.
We've already tried to give out solids and stuff like that.
Yeah, we'll owe you a solid. I don't know. Maybe we could prank call people badly, as we're pretty good at that.
That's a pretty good deal. Yeah, I would say we could do that for $5.
Yeah.
I wish there was like a RoboCop-inspired site that was, I'll buy that for $1. And you could just buy stuff for $1. Because I really like that clip. You remember that? It was the TV show that's in all the TVs in that movie.
Yeah.
It's basically that like wormy guy. He's like, I'll buy that for $1.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's some guy on Twitter who only tweets people and says, I'd buy that for $1.
I saw that. Yeah. That's what made me think of it, actually. I saw somebody retweet one of his tweets.
Yeah.
Tickled me.
Yeah, they tweeted junk food dinner about something.
That must have been what it was, yeah. Okay, our next email is from Martin, and it's titled, Proof That Jews Are Ghosts? Dear Parker and Jason, it's the first sunny day of the weekend in the UK, and so, of course, I'm laid low with a stinking cold. However, that has finally given me the excuse I needed to get round to giving you a 5-star review on iTunes. Very nice, thank you. I got into your show a few months back through listening to Junk Food Dinner and have been enjoying the hell out of it ever since. So I just wanted to thank you guys for all the free entertainment. Last week's drunk episode was a particular highlight. More of those, please. I think we can deliver on that. How did you like last week's show, Parker?
I liked it. I thought that the first half was great stuff. We were both very angry. For very different reasons. And I thought that was a lot of fun. But then like I was like, oh, man. Like when I got to the last part of it where it was like just us drunk, like when I was editing it, it was like just us like being like very stereotypical, like drunk old men just reminiscing. I was like, yeah, man, nobody's going to care about this. Like, you know, like this is going to come off like we're talking like that old man that you see at the bar. And like you could tell that everybody's like doesn't want to talk to them. Because they're just like drunk and reminiscing. Well, maybe that was the case. Maybe that's how people feel about it, where like the first half ruled and the second half sucked. But we have gotten a few nice words about that episode. So apparently if the last part sucked, it sucked not enough to make that episode as a whole bad or something. Or I would assume, because we've gotten some nice words about that episode. So yeah, I'm always down for doing another drunk show because I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I thought the reminiscing part, I mean, I could hear that on the re-listen. I think a way to counteract that for the next time, if we decide to do that again, is that instead of like you know, reminiscing about what our favorite albums were from our teenage years or anything like that, that instead we try to solve a mystery, like Sherlock Holmes style.
Sherlock homophobia style.
Yeah, that way we cannot in any way be given the option to reminisce. Like, oh, this murder reminds me of when I was a kid. We'll just be forced into, like, using deductive. It'll be hilarious for us to try to use deductive logic. Or, like, you know, not so much that, but just try to solve a word problem.
Yeah.
Or something.
Or just find a lot more stories that angry up our blood.
That's easy to do. It's either one of the two. You either reminisce or get your blood all angered up.
Yeah.
Man, all we have to do is talk about Walking Dead again or something like that. I'm sure we'd be fine.
Yeah, well,
that's the most I've yelled on any of these shows, I'm certain.
Yeah, that was the angriest you've gotten so far.
Mm-hmm.
Was when we brought up the fact that nobody cares to talk about zombies on The Walking Dead.
Yeah, yeah. And that apparently that last zombie that killed the old guy on the show was an expert stealthman. He was pretty much the Solid Snake of zombies.
That's true.
Hiding under a box and such, tiptoeing up and snapping that guy's neck.
But yeah, I like doing the drunk show. I'm up for anytime you want to do a drunk show, I'm down.
Sounds good then. And Mark continues with, I've been listening to the older episodes and came across one where Parker, somewhat controversially, suggested that all Jews might be ghosts. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it reminded me of a show that aired on British TV in the early 90s called So Haunt Me, about a North London family being haunted by an interfering elderly Jewish lady who died after choking on a chicken bone. Nice touch. It was allegedly a comedy, but I saw no evidence of that when I watched it. And he provides a Wikipedia link for So Haunt Me. This was, of course, in the earlier, more innocent days, when making pseudo-racist sitcoms was what we British did best. Anyway, keep up the good work, fellas. I'm mainly writing this because it makes me feel sad when Jason gets no mail. Cheers, Martin Oxford, UK. That was a very good email from a friend across the pond. And I'm actually very interested to find out more about this So Haunt Me show. That's hilarious. Have you heard about this show before?
No, I have not. But it sounds right up my alley. Because I like things that were
pseudo-racist?
Not so much pseudo-racist, but like naively racist, maybe? Or like lightheartedly racist? Like, you know, like I just love the back in the day, like you could do like a movie like Soul Man, that movie where like that guy, to get into college or something, he has to pretend he's black. Like I love stuff like that. And that sounds like a lot like what this is. Like in the 80s, people just grew up with stuff like that. And now, of course, like if you went into a movie studio and you're like, hey, I want to do a show about a like this Jewish ghost who haunts a family, people would be like, you need to get out of here and go to sensitivity training. And
right. I know what you mean with that, because like we're never going to see a Long Duck Dong ever again.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not even sure if that's good or bad, because I don't know how I feel about that movie as it is anyway.
I haven't seen it since I was little. But yeah, you could like, yeah, it would be very hard to do something like that nowadays. And I think that it was a cuter time when you could do stuff like that. Just a cute time in general. And I'm surprised to hear that the British were getting in on that too. Is, you know, that's an aspect being American. You never really hear that the British are getting in on a happy, vaguely racist TV show like that.
With ghosts, it is kind of an unusual premise, even for a British sitcom. This coming from myself, who is at least as hungrily trying to watch all old episodes of Doctor Who that I can find. And that shit's kind of bonkers sometimes. Not pseudo-racist, though, by any means. At least not that I've seen so far.
I thought it was kind of pseudo-racist. That first episode where, like, Rose's black boyfriend died and she didn't even care.
I think you're reading too much into that.
You're probably right.
Because he was fine by the end of that episode. And again, like, she's trying to get used to people being made of plastic and all that kind of jazz. So it's like, pretty sure you just drop all your wits anyway.
She didn't drop her wits. She was running hand in hand with the doctor, smiling, running down the street.
Yeah, he was fine, though. I mean,
she didn't know that. But yeah, this also harkens back to a time which it seems to be long gone, where there would be TV shows and movies and stuff just where about ghosts. Like ghosts were just a normal part of life. Like there was Ghost Dad and this, and that Angels in the Outfield movie where like some ghosts were just part of a baseball team for some reason. You don't see a lot of that these days where like ghosts just become part of average everyday life.
And they're for the most part friendly, helpful, or witty. Yeah, like anytime you see them now, they're always some sort of demon-esque sort of ghost who just want to mess up your entire life.
Yeah, they're just trying to fuck with you and hurt your dog, like in Paranormal Activity. Actually, I think wasn't there that movie like Ghosts of Ex-Girlfriend's Pasts or something? Like some Matthew McConaughey movie that came out recently?
Nobody watched that shit.
That's true.
That doesn't count. Like, if no one sees the movie, that movie does not exist.
That's true. Also, I don't think... Maybe that, like, that title might just be a metaphor. I'm not sure if they were actually ghosts in that movie. Maybe I'll have to watch it just to make sure.
Ghosts of acting careers past. Am I right? Am I right?
You got that right. And in fact...
That is a great joke.
Thank you. Finally, some...
It's not just Lemon Grab.
But you can play the Lemon Grab one. That one's also hysterical.
Good one!
Thank you. All right.
Also, thanks for listening to our show, even though I go on rants about how much I hate the British. I would just like to say that to, what's his name, Martin?
Yes, Martin of Oxford. I feel like I help counteract some of that disdain that you have with my own love of British stuff. So
yeah, if any British people or Canadian people listen to our show, it's because of you.
Yeah, I know. I'm the saving grace of that aspect. Our next and last email comes from Danielle and simply titled Episode 50. It says, hi, my name is Danielle. That's at DarkPsyde2 on Twitter, at DarkSide2 on Twitter. I was the assistant / bartender on the Acid Pop Cult episode you guys co-hosted with the pretty drunk Jeremy a few weeks ago, and I've been catching up on your podcast ever since. You guys make my extremely boring day job a lot more bearable. Thanks for that. You are welcome. Glad to hear it. Being the only trustee on my village's library board that is under the age of 100, I felt compelled to comment on the FreeGal music service that was brought up in the last episode. I think the only reason libraries buy into this overpriced service, the songs are costing the library more a piece than it costs to download on iTunes, is that they are trying to stay relevant in a time when everything you could ever need can be found online. The problem with my village is everyone involved in approving these decisions has no idea on how things work nowadays, but want to appear as if they do. For example, our board went green, quote unquote, and stopped printing out the board packets, instead emailing them to the trustees. These trustees, myself being the exception, print them out at home and bring them to the meeting. Kind of defeats the purpose, but I don't think they really understand the concept anyway. With everything starting going digital, I'm pretty sure they thought it was just a fad and were against any change. And now they feel like they look like fools for not implementing changes sooner. So every new technology that comes along now, they feel we need to jump on the bandwagon and get it so as to not be behind the times again. I completely agree with Parker and his rant about FreeGal being a waste of taxpayers' money. I could talk for hours about some of the stupid things our library has implemented, but it would not be nearly as entertaining as your shows are on here. Can't wait to listen to more episodes of Pool Party Radio and Junk Food Dinner. Yeah, so we're getting kind of an insider look here. And that does seem very silly, like being emailed these board packets only to print them out at home and claiming that's a go green initiative.
Yeah, when I worked at the newspaper, people would email us, like the funeral homes around town would email us obituaries. And there was one place that had like a little thing at the bottom, like a little signature after every one of their emails that said, try to avoid printing this out, or like, don't print this out, you know, save, you know, a tree and whatever. Don't print out this email, you know, we'll go green if you don't print out this email. And as such, like, we would have to print out the obituaries for like whatever reason, just to have like a hard copy there. So we had to print them out anyway. But because of that little extra lines at the bottom, like all obituaries are about the same length, you know, 4 or 5 paragraphs or whatever. So every time they sent us one, the part where it says, you know, save a tree, don't print this email, that would always come at like at a length that would make it print on a separate piece of paper.
Yeah.
So because they put that there, we were wasting an extra piece of paper every single time. So
I think that might be the definition of irony.
Indeed.
It's pretty
so
solid.
But they felt good as hell, I'm sure, by putting that into their emails, even though they were actually making things worse. It probably let them sleep a little easier at night.
Thank God we're saving those trees. We're
saving all the trees.
And I have to agree with Danielle's point about not just library personnel not understanding the way digital technology works or could be applied to an office or how you can use it in any way, shape, or form for this different generation that, you know, does not know how to use it. They're trying to implement it in even the most basic forms, but they just didn't grow up with it like most of us have. So they're taking these silly approaches like the one she described just now.
Yeah. Like anytime you hear about lawmakers or any bureaucrats like doing something with technology, it's very clear that they have no idea what that technology actually is. Like we've seen recently with the mega upload stuff and this. And yeah, like, and I mean, just I don't understand why the library has to try to keep up with new technology. It's a fucking library. It's four books. Every time I go to the library, it makes me so sad because I go in there and there's like 30 people gathered around the computers, you know, waiting hours and hours to get online to check their email and their MySpace. And then there's like a whole big flock of people over by the DVDs. And then the books look like an old West town with tumbleweeds going through. It's ridiculous. And then, you know, the libraries always complain. Before I left Ohio, there was this big thing where they were talking about defunding the libraries and people were getting all upset. And the fact of the matter is, yeah, like, I mean, I was against this when I was there and stuff. But, I mean, I bet that like 80% of the money that libraries raise go to shit like the internet and DVDs and MP3s and bullshit. Like, books are so super cheap and you can use a fraction of that money to get a shitload of books and make people smarter rather than just making it so that they get fucking Harold and Kumar on DVD and have a fun weekend.
I like your devotion to people reading and accessing books rather than just jump into DVD sections and CD sections and all that jazz. I mean, I think it's important to have access to all that media, but I think it's more on the head of the people who are accessing it. Like you said, I mean, they'll have the internet stations. And I know I brought this up before, but having worked as a library aide myself and having to watch like just the dredges of human society come in and not just look up on their MySpace and Facebook, but just watching a pederast go to work, like some creepy, creepy old dude just sending friend requests and lurking on young girls' profiles. Real nasty stuff. And also seeing like some homeless dude sitting next to like, you know, an 8-year-old who's working on their book project or whatever is online, like looking at science or something. And this homeless dude's like just out and out looking at porn. I mean, just people going at it. Not even a screen away from this kid. I mean, could not give a fuck. And that's what he decides to use the library for. You know, they're like, oh, man, I should really go to the job center or clean myself up or find something to do and find some sort of enriching fulfillment. It's like, no, I'm going to look at porn. Fuck this kid next to me. I just want to see these boners going.
Yeah, man, it's gross and it's silly. And that's what the library has become, is just a place for people to go and look at their porn and get whatever new DVD is out so that they don't have to go to Blockbuster or Redbox or whatever.
But what's really intimidating is when you go to like a proper library. I mean, like one of those massive ones in New York or something where it's just the aisles and aisles of study tables. And then just it looks majestic almost. It's kind of intimidating. Like the library in Ghostbusters to just pull one out. You know, that's how it looks. People are actually trying to get shit done. They're actually researching.
Yeah.
And then,
well, know. Also Ghostbusters happened before the internet and DVDs and CDs and stuff.
So even now, like, I bet now been there.
I bet now it's just miles and miles of computers and old people whacking off.
Probably. Yeah. That could just as well be the case.
Yeah. I think that if you want to go to the library and use the internet or take out a DVD, you have to get a book first and do a fucking book report. And if you pass, then you get some internet time and you get a DVD.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it should just be like getting a driver's license. It's like, well, how much do you know how to operate a car? How much do you know how to read a book?
Yeah. We're not going to let you read TMZ unless you can read The Great Wrath.
Just give this Hemingway a shot. It's real easy. It's kind of like the parallel parking of reading.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, thank you, Danielle, for the email. It was awesome. Yeah. And I'm glad you're enjoying the show.
Also, check out that episode of Acid Pop Cult that we were on. I think it was like number 9 or 10 or whatever. We were on there. We were doing trivia. Jeremy was very drunk. And we're also going to be on the next episode, which might be up by now. Might be up soon. Not too sure. Mm-hmm.
I believe that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It should be out once this one's out. Yeah. We were on again with Jeremy. It's a special episode. Should be a lot of fun to listen to.
Indeed. And that brings us to the end of the show. Obviously the saddest part of the show. Go to our website, poolpartyradio@gmail.com. Download all the episodes and find our link to iTunes. Leave us a 5-star rating or a comment or however many stars you want. I don't want to be presumptuous. Maybe you don't like us 5 stars worth. But leave us a rating. Hopefully above 3 stars, though. Hey, wink. And leave us a comment on there. More people will be able to find us. Like I've said the last couple of weeks, whenever I look on iTunes for a new show, I try to find one that has at least a few of these ratings. That way I know that other people are into it, and that probably means it's good. And it isn't just some jerkasses stroking each other's dicks around on the iTunes. You know what I mean?
So rabid. Jesus.
So yeah, so it really helps out. People see, oh, you know, these people have a lot of ratings. They must be pretty good. Adam Carolla has like thousands of ratings, and he's the best. And so it translates. People see ratings. They know that there's quality going on. So please do us that solid. Also, you can also subscribe on iTunes. That way you don't have to push the download button every week like a sucker. Get your finger all tired. Get carpal tunnel syndrome. You can avoid that. You can go to our Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. And like us there. That would be nice. Seth Kuzer draws us nice logos sometimes. You can check those out. Also, check out Junk Food Dinner. JunkFoodDinner.com or on iTunes as the cult movie podcast I also do with Kevin and Mark. And we're celebrating 2 years of splendid and often hilarious... to toot our horn there. Movie watching. And it's been fun. It's been a fun 2 years. And we just did our 100th episode, our 2-year anniversary episode. Next week is our 300th movie reviewed audio commentary show. Good stuff popping over there. Nice stuff popping.
Do you ever worry that you might run out of movies
to
watch?
Oh, most certainly. I thought, I think I talked about this on Junk Food Dinner a few weeks ago, but like when I first started doing it, I thought like 10 episodes in, I'd be out and I would have no more movies to talk about. But yeah, like lately it's kind of, like, it seems like every week I stumble upon like 10 more movies that I want to do. So it's mm-hmm. very lucky that way. But now that Mega Upload's gone, like most of the movies that I would stumble upon were on Mega Upload. So maybe we will run out now. But yeah, it's something I do worry about, which is why I've pledged to, by the time the show ends, do all the Freddy and Jason movies. As that'll stretch out the length of the show by about 20 episodes if I do all those.
It's pretty meaty stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah. So that'll help out a lot. That'll pad our numbers by doing all the Freddy and Jason episodes or Freddy and Jason movies. But yeah. Yeah, I'm sure like that's like we all enjoy doing it. I know I enjoy doing it. I think those guys enjoy doing it too. So I assume that will probably be the reason the Junk Food Dinner ends, if it ever does, is that one day we'll just be like, all right, what are you guys doing this week for the movies? And then, like, we'll just be like, ugh, God, there's nothing left. And then that'll be the end of the show. Or we'll just start doing, like, start doing mainstream stuff. This week I've got Jurassic Park and the Shawshank Redemption.
I got my dinner with Andre.
Yeah, there's no...
This is a real stinker.
There's no more cult films to do. But sorry. All right. So I'm Parker for Jason Razorblades Frisbee saying fuck you, Chelios.
Made.